Are you on a weight loss plateau? How do you break out of it? Do you work out more, eat less, or work out less, and eat more? We'll discuss all the strategies that you can use to break out of a weight loss plateau. Plus, we'll tackle another question about calories and what's the deal with high fructose corn syrup? Good or bad for weight loss? All this and more on episode number 45 of Fat to Fit Radio.
Welcome to Fat to Fit Radio, your source for real weight loss solutions without the hype. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Ainsley and Russ Turley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. What's going on with you this week, Jeff?
Not too much, Russ, but I know we have some listeners who are getting a little concerned with you. In the last couple of weeks, you really haven't lost any weight. So have you had any great success in the last week?
This week it was not a huge down week. Only down about a half pound, give or take, a tenth of a pound.
So really, in the last 4 weeks, you're down about 1 pound, which kind of works out because I had planned to do this show on breaking weight loss plateaus. So later in the show, we're going to figure out exactly what's going on with you and why you're not losing weight lately. So I guess I was kind of hoping you wouldn't lose a whole bunch of weight this week and kind of mess up my plans. But anyways, we're going to get to the bottom of this. But what else has been going on with you this week?
Well, besides dreading the weight loss intervention that we got going on here, we had a nice trip down to Legoland. They have a little Halloween celebration there on Saturday nights during October. So the kids got to put their costumes on and they have a costume contest. It's pretty cool. And also, just a day or so ago, I met with the listener, Karen Hawes, and she's going to be doing a podcast, and she asked me if I could give her some tips and some information about podcasting. So I met her right here down the street at the local Starbucks, and we talked podcasting for about an hour. So that was quite fun. So what about you, besides preparing to rake me over the coals this week?
Well, actually, for our Canadian listeners, the second Monday in October is our Thanksgiving. So one thing I forgot to mention about Thanksgiving last week is I tried a turkey, but what I did was I deep fried a 12-pound turkey. My in-laws came over and we had this huge pot and we had the oil in there and kind of like a barbecue burner underneath to heat it up. And when you deep fry a turkey, it only takes 3.5 minutes per pound. So we did a 12-pound turkey in about 40 minutes. And you know, you get the oil really hot, 350 degrees. You put it in there, it seals the skin right in. It's so juicy, you know, none of the juice gets out of the turkey. And you're not eating the skin anyways, so you're not eating any of the grease. And it was just awesome. Have you ever had a deep fried turkey, Russ?
You know, interesting enough, we have, during our Cub Scout campouts, we do one here locally over at the El Dorado Park. And this last time, everybody, I was asked if they had a turkey fryer to bring that. And I never had one before. I'd never even seen it done. We did something like 6 turkeys and maybe 3 or 4 at a time in these cookers, and it was delicious. It is the moistest turkey, and you fry them in peanut oil, which gives it a little extra flavor too there, but it is some delicious turkey.
Yeah, that's right. The first time I heard about it, I was thinking, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken with all the grease and, you know, just bad for you. But it really isn't. It's something to, you know, give it a shot. It's nothing that I would really recommend frying anything else. But once in a while, a huge turkey, it just makes the cooking go so fast. But hey, let's move into our emails and comments for the week.
And our first email is from Rick. And he wrote, "I just started listening to your podcasts and I really have been enjoying them. I've been trying to lose some weight for about a year by exercising, but I haven't made significant headway. Your podcasts have been great motivation for me to start counting calories and keep exercising. I discovered something interesting. My meals are very out of balance calorie-wise. I typically eat a fairly large bowl of cereal with skim milk for approximately 350 calories. For lunch, I have a sandwich with some fruit and vegetables for about 550 calories. I am 5'8", 38 years old, male, and according to an online calculator, maintaining my current weight of approximately 200 pounds requires 2,400 to 2,500 calories per day. That means dinner comes in at least 1,500 calories. That's hard to calculate because I don't have the same thing for dinner every day, but that does not seem unreasonable. By the time I get home, I'm typically famished. I'm very susceptible to overeating if there is an opportunity. Do you think it would be a good idea to double my breakfast eating 2 bowls of cereal and cut down dinner to about 1,000 calories? My hope is that by balancing my meals better, I will be less likely to overindulge and can cut back on dinner enough to lose some weight. Thanks again for a great podcast.
Well, first of all, it doesn't sound like you're eating too bad. You just need to spread around your calories and maybe lower them a little bit if you're not having any success. But what really got me here is we are almost the exact same height and the exact same age, so it was really easy for me to plug in your numbers into the spreadsheet that I use. And in fact, I've been in your exact position at one point in my life. At my highest weight, I was about 230 pounds, and currently I'm around 165. So if we look at your numbers, at 200 pounds, if you were in a coma, your body would still burn about 1,900 calories a day, and that's your basal metabolic rate. You estimated that you can eat between 2,400 and 2,500 calories per day to maintain your weight at 200 pounds. So I took that estimate, and you are somewhere between a couch potato and someone who goes to the gym 1 to 3 times per week to get that total of 2,400 to 2,500. Now, here's my point. I weigh 35 pounds less than you, and I get to eat more than you every single day to maintain my weight. I eat about 2,550 to 2,600 calories per day on average, and the big difference is that I do a lot more activity than you. So I'm hitting the gym about 5 days a week. Now remember, ultimately your goal is to eat the most amount of food, the healthiest food, the most amount, and enjoy it, and still be lean and healthy. So as for eating, as I said, you need to eat more often. If you really want to speed up your metabolism, you should eat 5 to 6 meals per day. And some people like to think of them as 3 meals and 2 or 3 snacks. It's really up to you, but you're running into the typical problem of being famished by the time you get home for dinner and overeating. By eating more meals or more snacks, spreading out your calories better, and then making sure that you're eating clean, healthy foods, none of this processed foods, that will make a huge difference. So you really have to do what will keep you from ever being hungry and staying within your calorie goals. So here's something I do. Personally, I usually have a snack about an hour before I go to bed. And lots of people say you should never eat right before you go to bed because it takes longer to digest and it might turn into fat. And that may be true, but in the long run, I will eat less because I'll never get up in the middle of the night hungry and end up eating or overeating in the middle of the night. Now, you said you're eating about 1,500 calorie dinners. It is actually very, very hard to eat 1,500 calories in one sitting if you're just eating pure, clean, healthy, unprocessed foods. So here's an example of a 1,000 calorie dinner. You could eat 2 chicken breasts, a cup of mixed vegetables, 2 cups of basmati rice, and a ridiculously huge garden salad with light dressing. And that's just 1,000 calories. Then you'd have room for another meal of 500 calories during the day easily. And I would not suggest doubling up your breakfast. Instead, eat a mid-afternoon meal or snack. If you want to feel fuller longer after breakfast, make sure that you're eating some complex carbohydrates. So something like a bowl of real oatmeal, not the prepackaged stuff. And that will probably take at least twice as long to digest than your typical breakfast cereal. Now, when you said cereal, I was just assuming that you're eating, like Frosted Mini-Wheats or one of those types of cereal. And lastly, the weight loss is all about calories in and calories out. We talked about that last show. If you reduce your calories by 250 per day, so you go down to 2,200 calories a day, and you increase your exercise by 250 calories a day, 20 minutes of activity, that is super easy to lose 1 pound a week without too much effort. So good luck in your weight loss, and you look like you're going pretty well as you are. Just make some minor changes, and I think you'll be fine.
Yeah, that was a good answer there. I was definitely thinking, 1,500 calories for dinner. That's just a whole bunch of calories, and definitely taking that 500 calories and splitting it up into a couple snacks during the mid-morning and mid-afternoon would be a good place for him to displace those calories.
And I think just the big thing here, if you really like to eat, upping your activity allows you to eat a lot more food throughout the week and just makes it a little bit easier to keep on track. But let's move into our second email, and it's a comment that came in from Colorful Kimbo. And they wrote, "Hey, first let me say that I love your guys' show. It's the best. I love all of the great information that I received for free. Yay. It's nice to actually listen to something that tells you the truth. So thanks, guys, for doing what you're doing. So now for my question. What is the real deal on high fructose corn syrup? Does it really make you fat? I'm seeing all of these corn syrup isn't bad commercials, and I'm hearing from everyone that it is. So what's the truth?
Well, one thing, I'm going to put a link in the show notes here to a movie. It's a documentary. It's called King Corn. And I saw a trailer on it. I have not seen the movie, but it looked really interesting. And it's about the whole corn industry. And in the United States, a while back, we have subsidies. The farmers are given incentives to produce corn. And they produce something like 10,000 pounds of corn per acre of crop, a huge amount. So we produce a lot of corn in this country. And therefore, we need something to do with it. And you're seeing a lot of things like ethanol. That's a big thing now. But a big thing that we produce is high fructose corn syrup. Most of that corn that is produced is not the type you buy in the grocery store that you're going to boil or steam and put in and eat for dinner. It is pretty much only for processing, and it gets broken down and made into this corn syrup. And that is added into the foods that we eat and beverages. A huge part is in soft drinks. It's extremely cheap also. In the 80s, the National Soft Drink Administration, they said, you know what, we're going to start using corn syrup instead of sugar in our soft drinks. And they've saved hundreds of millions of dollars by switching to high fructose corn syrup. So does it make you gain weight? So when you eat sugar, your body produces a hormone called leptin. And that leptin helps your body regulate your appetite. But fructose, when it's consumed, does not make your body produce this hormone leptin. Therefore, you don't know you're getting full. So you keep consuming more and more amounts of these high processed foods and these sugary drinks that aren't actually sugary, they're corn syrupy. And your body is not saying, hey, don't eat anymore, you're full, because you're not getting that glucose. You're getting the alternative here, the high fructose corn syrup. So I think that's why you're seeing so many people, you know, we've talked about all these developing countries that are getting these processed foods sent to them. And because of that, they're gaining weight just like we are in the U.S. And, you know, we're sending our corn out into the world and making everybody fatter. That's the main reason why, you know, seeing a lot in increase in obesity, while we're seeing also an increase in the use of high fructose corn syrup.
That's right. It's the absolute empty calorie. I mean, the corn syrup has absolutely no nutritional value. It's very, very high in calorie. It's very calorically dense per weight. You get tons of calories, and it doesn't make you feel full after you've eaten it. So all that it's good for is literally putting weight on people. I mean, it sweetens food, and it makes you fat. There's really nothing else that corn syrup is good for.
Yeah, so I mentioned that King Corn movie and documentary, and check out the little trailer or rent the movie. I think I'm going to do that myself, because they're talking about how we eat so much corn syrup in the United States that literally if you take a follicle of hair and you analyze it, it's going to be mostly corn product in that hair. It's what we're made out of. We're made out of corn. And that was these two guys go across the country and in the Midwest here and talk to farmers about corn, talk to scientists. And so it's an amazing looking documentary. And really, I think, just a big, huge portion of our obesity problem.
Well, that definitely sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah, it looks like a fun little watch. But I want to thank Rick and Colorful Kimbo for sending in those great emails. If you'd like to get a hold of us, there are a couple ways that you can do that. And the first is by leaving a comment on the website at fattofitradio.com.
Or you can send us an email to podcast@fattofitradio.com.
The third is by leaving a voicemail over at the website. Click on the Call Me button, and you can leave us a free voicemail.
Or you can join our support group at fattofitsupport.com.
All right, let's tackle a couple of items on the Web Report.
All right, my news item this week is from Men's Health Magazine, and it's entitled Muscle Chow. Now, they have this one guy, this one fitness model, who's been on almost 20 Men's Health covers. So he is the big haughty guy who everyone likes. He looks, you know, fairly muscular. He's got the six-pack abs. And this article is about what he eats in a typical day. So this is a guy that is a professional model. He's not one of these skinny models. He is the muscular-looking type. And he is giving his perfect day of food, what he eats to have that body. So going over it here, he eats 7 meals a day. Remember I was talking about eat 5 to 6? Well, he's eating 7. And if he has one serving of each of these foods that he's talking about, his basic menu is only 1,900 calories. So I assume these are the foods that he's eating in the day, and he might have more than one serving of the typical food. So to give you an idea, he eats a lean protein with every single meal, and he eats every, 2.5 hours or so. So I'll just give you a quick rundown of what this guy eats on a daily basis. And this is his perfect diet, he says. So at 7:30 a.m., he has some toast with avocado on it. He's got olive oil and some flax, and that's around 400 calories. A couple hours later, at 10:30, he has a tuna salad mix, and he eats them on celery sticks. And then at 12:30, he has some stuffed peppers. So he has bell peppers, and inside he's got some ground beef with some egg whites and some canned corn and freshly chopped parsley. He has a whole little thing here of, meat and bell peppers, and that's his lunch. 3 hours later, at 3:30, he has his own homemade mix of nuts that he eats, spicy roasted nuts, and he's got the recipe here to do that. And then at 5 o'clock, he has a chicken salad sandwich. And then he goes to the gym and works out. Right after he works out at 6:30 p.m., he has his own chocolate almond recovery shake, which uses, milk and instant coffee and some unsalted almonds that he blends up in a blender. Then he gets home. An hour later at 7:30, he has his seventh meal. And today he's having mahi-mahi wraps, which are basically some fish inside a salad with a whole bunch of, lettuce and chopped tomatoes and cucumber and avocado and sprouts. So that is his seven meals throughout the day. And I guess the thing I really want to stress with this article that I found, I will have a link in the show notes, and you can click on the link and see all the things that he's been eating. And the best part, he has recipes for every one of his meals. And this is a guy who is making a living on how he looks. And for him, the best way to stay lean and keep muscle or put on muscle is to be eating all the time and eating good foods throughout the day. So when we're talking about modeling successful people, you really can't go wrong here. Eating lean protein with every meal and eating every couple hours. Of course, you're not eating well over your calorie limit, but your eating is spread out throughout the entire day.
Yeah, and he's probably not preparing all these meals every day. He's probably preparing, say, like the nuts for sure, or the chicken salad, and he's having that, preparing it one time probably throughout the week, eating that. He's not making all this food every day. This kind of eating, I think, would be for anybody just hard to do if you had to sit down and create all these meals every time you wanted to eat.
Well, I think a lot of these things you can make several servings and eat them over the next couple of days. But I think the big thing about a fitness model or a bodybuilder, they don't spend hours and hours in the gym. The hardest part about their day is the preparing of the food and eating. And that's really what's making them look the way they do. It all aids in to their working out. But yeah, for sure, some of these things, you'd be in the kitchen for hours a day if you're doing this from scratch every single meal, for sure. But what do you have for us this week, Russ?
So not really a news item here, but a couple of weeks ago, we took the kids over to the local school and let them ride around the school on their bikes. And there was a guy there, and I'd seen him there before, but I'd never talked to him. And he's got this three-wheel device. It's called a trike, T-R-I-K-K-E. And it's kind of like a tricycle meets skates. And he came over, and I talked to him about it. And he's lost about 20 pounds, and he said he hasn't changed his diet. He's just worked out more, and using this trike, he comes over three or four times a week to the school and just does laps on this trike. And he says it's a lot of fun and works like if you were skating, kind of an outward pushing motion. And they call it cambering. And we'll have a link in the show notes. You can see some video and some photographs of people doing this. But it's very interesting. It's kind of a carving back and forth kind of motion. And it works the whole body, the legs, the arms, the core, your midsection. And it looks like a great workout. And my wife expressed interest, so I'll probably be getting one of these in the home here before Christmas time, probably. I hope she didn't hear me, because that would probably be a Christmas present. So, shh, don't tell her.
Well, you'll definitely have to keep us updated on that.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of fun. I might have to break down and get myself one if it works out well for her.
All right, well, let's move into our feature section. And this week, we're talking about weight loss plateaus. So we're going to try and figure out why Russ has plateaued in the last month, And then after that, I'll go over a whole bunch of other ways to break a plateau if you end up in one yourself. So first of all, when we're talking about Russ here, and this is going to be a little bit of an inquisition, the best thing right now, Russ, is that you have not gained weight in the last month. Typically, when people are losing weight and they kind of get a slowdown, they give up, and then the weight starts coming back on. So has anything changed in the last month to keep you at the same weight?
I don't think anything has changed. But, you know, I have, since we talked about this, and you had come back from from your workshop last week and said, hey, here's a great new topic. We're going to help you on your plateau. I'm like, okay, great. So I did some little background, little work here, just doing what we would suggest anybody would do, and kind of put together what I was eating, writing everything down, and seeing if I was accurate in my calorie count, and finding out where those hidden calories was. Maybe I wasn't totally counting. And I found a couple things while I was doing that work.
One thing I worked out right now at 255 pounds, and I mean, you're 6 inches taller than me. If you're going to the gym or working out 3 to 5 times a week to maintain your weight, you can eat about 3,600 calories, which is a lot of food. Now, if you lose 55 pounds and you get down to 200 pounds, you can eat 3,100 calories. So there's about a 500 calorie difference between what you weigh right now and if you got down to 200 pounds, what your goal weight would be. So if we're talking about starting to live the life of the person at your goal weight, if you started eating 3,100 calories right now, that's a 500 calories less per day, which would translate into about a pound per week. So what have you been averaging in calories right now?
Well, I am actually right about 3,500, which is probably, but that's probably where it was coming from. That was just one particular day. But I'm typically around 3,000, and that may be a little too much for what I'm trying to do here and losing weight. So I think that's probably the main culprit. You know, also, I found some hidden calories I wasn't really counting. And that's when I started counting the glass of wine that I wasn't really counting. I thought, how much could it be? But, you know, when you start adding glasses of wine at 170 calories a glass, it adds up.
Well, you know, and we're all talking about calories, and I'm sure some of our listeners are thinking, oh, I don't want to count calories for the rest of my life. You don't have to for the rest of your life. You just have to do it for a while to figure out how much food is this, you know, in your case, 3,100 calories or whatever it is. And then when you kind of get a feel for that, you just keep eating similar foods every day. And if you find that you're gaining weight or losing weight, you adjust it accordingly.
Well, I think what I've done here is my calories have adjusted to that of a 255-pound guy. And that's where I've kind of hit this. And I need to adjust down my calories because I'm at this plateau. I'm eating at the correct number of calories that I would be for a 255-pound guy, which I am right now.
And I mean, when you were 300 pounds, yeah, that would be a good goal when you get down to 255. So I guess you can say that now that you've kind of plateaued here for a while, let's continue on and double the weight loss you have so far. But one thing I want to jump into, a major success indicator for weight loss is if you have your short-term and your long-term goals. So let's just talk about your goals that you have on a daily basis. Do you have anything that you do on a daily basis that at the end of the night you say, even if I wasn't counting calories, I succeeded this day?
Typically, there is physical activity. There is 20-minute walk at lunch is my goal every day. It doesn't always happen because things are busy, but 20-minute goal for working out, lunchtime with that nice energetic walk. And two is to limit the number of processed foods I'm eating. I can tell if I'm going to have a bad day as far as calorie-wise, if I don't get up early or the night before, get that food prepared for lunch and even for breakfast the next day. I know that I'm probably going to have a higher calorie day than I would have if I did not, if I had prepared that meal beforehand.
So do you have any sort of checklists or way that you're tracking these things that you're doing?
I do not write everything down. I've never done that, but I got into a groove where I knew what I was eating and I had calculated out all the calories and then I was eating kind of the same things over and over again. So I was keeping that, but then as soon as you don't prepare those meals, the things that I knew the calories for, well, then it was kind of a free-for-all. And you're like, okay, well, you know, I don't have, I didn't prepare my chicken salad today for lunch. And so I'll go for a sandwich at, you know, Subway or something like that. And, you know, unless I am real specific and know exactly how many calories are in that, I know I'm probably eating twice as much as I would have during the for that meal, and then if I prepare that meal at home.
So I know you've lost, you know, 40 some pounds already. You already know ways to have success. So I guess I'm trying to come up with ways. What are ways that would keep you on track so that you're not forgetting to get ready the night before? You're not running into the things when you're not prepared. What are some ways that you could make sure that you're always doing those things that made you have success?
Well, I think a major thing is, you know, when you're preparing meals, like say for dinner time, prepare that meal for the next day at the same time. If I have to go into the kitchen after I've done made dinner or my wife's made dinner and then clean dishes, if I have to go and make another meal, that's not going to happen. So I think preparing, you know, all those meals when you're already in the kitchen, you're already preparing dinner for the family, make the meals that you're going to eat the next day, rather than going in there and making a special trip in and having to get all those things out again to make those meals. Do it while you're doing preparing other meals.
All right, so you've convinced me with the food, and it's kind of like me. I mean, I had my degree in phys ed, and I was gaining weight. You know, I gained 50, 60 pounds, even though I knew how to do all the stuff. There's a lot more than just the knowledge. Let's move on to working out. You said you're trying to get in about a 20-minute walk per day. How can you make sure that you're accountable for that and keep track of what you're doing? Do you have any strategies there?
Well, you know, sometimes it's you fall into traps. One trap is, you know, a coworker who never brings a lunch, and so I was like, hey, let's go someplace. And it's saying, you know what? No, I'm going to go walk. And I think by bringing that lunch, again, you say, you know what? No, I have my lunch here. You go ahead. Maybe I'll catch you next time. But that next time gets further and further out, because if you're always bringing your lunch, eating, going for that walk, then it's always that there's no excuse not to eat what your food that you brought there for lunch and then going for that walk.
I might have a suggestion here. Let's say every day you're trying to do your minimum 20-minute walk. Why don't you say you have to get in a 20-minute walk within a 24-hour period? So if you have something that comes up at lunch, you still go out and you have lunch with someone else. You still have some company, but you just know it's when you get home at work or after the kids go to bed, something like that. How does that sound?
Yeah, so that 20-minute workout, that 20-minute walk during lunch is not the only thing I'm doing. I try to get out in the backyard on the elliptical as often as I can, but I've not been as diligent about getting out there as I was when I got the machine and I was all jazzed up about it. But you know, it's still a really good workout, but I need to get out there more often too.
All right. So along with that, you should also come up with some goals. Maybe you could just set, you know, I said you got to eat a little less every day and exercise a little more. Maybe set a goal per day of 300 calories or 400 calories of exercise. And it can be a combination of walking. It can be a combination of the elliptical, biking, whatever it is. And just say somehow in that day, you're going to get that extra activity in. So I think with those suggestions, I'm sure you're going to do fine. And I think this might be just a little bit of the kick in the butt to get you on track, I hope.
After the promise of an intervention here today, going through and looking at the calories I was eating and examining why I was, I think, eating more calories or eating the calories that I needed to maintain this weight, which I've done here for now for it seems like a long time. You know, just that whole process and finding out and having the knowledge now what's wrong, what's going on. I think it's a self-imposed plateau. I think I've now become accustomed to the amount of calories I'm eating, and it's just time to kick it down a notch further and head down to that next goal weight.
But, you know, ultimately, you know, I don't think you've failed at this at all, because you have lost weight. You haven't gained weight. And that's probably the most important thing when people are getting tired of a diet or whatever reason it is, that they just kind of take a pause and that's okay for a while, and then they can kind of get back on the horse and keep going. And I'm sure that every single listener of our show here has gone through things that are similar, but the majority of us have probably ended up gaining weight. You know, we didn't go a whole month without losing weight. We kind of gave up and started eating more, because that's just the way that most people are. All right, now I'm going to move into just general plateaus, what causes them, and how to break a plateau. So first of all, if you get stuck in a plateau, it's usually one of three reasons. The first one is that you're not eating enough. Second is that you've kind of given up on your diet and exercise and you're not really trying as hard as you could. Or the third reason is because you've been dieting for 2 or 3 months and your body has finally realized that, hey, I'm losing weight and it's going to try and stop you. So this is how you get around these things here. I searched on the internet to see what other people were suggesting, and I got a lot of really bad advice when I was searching the internet. Most people were saying you should eat less and exercise more if you get stuck in a plateau. You should try and use your willpower and determination to get you out of it. And this is absolutely wrong. You see, your body is designed to survive, and you've convinced it that it's starving. So what it's doing is slowing your metabolism, and it's not going to let any more of this fat go. You got to think, your body is designed so that in times of famine, you will live. So if the body thinks you're starving, you're going to hit a plateau. Now, that can be caused by not eating enough food on a daily basis, or it could just be the long-term dieting. After a couple months of gradually losing 1 or 2 pounds a week, it does kind of add up, and your body says, hey, I'm losing weight, and I could starve to death. So you can hit a plateau. So the way not to do it is eat less and exercise more. What I suggest, if your body has realized that you're losing weight and it wants to stop you, you eat at your maintenance level or slightly above for a week. Now, maintenance level is the amount of food that you'd eat to maintain your current weight. You don't want to try and use willpower to eat less because your body will always win out eventually. So eat more for a week or two. Now, another way is called the zigzag method. And by zigzag, it means that, let's say you're trying to average 1,800 calories. Well, that might mean that you eat 1,500 calories for 4 days, and then you eat 2,200 or 2,300 calories the next day. And then you go back down to a lower, and then you go back up. And what this does is it kind of keeps your body tricked into thinking that it's not really starving. You're just kind of starving for a couple days and then back to normal. Not a problem at all. So a lot of people zigzag naturally because for a lot of people, it's hard to stick on a really good diet for the whole week. And a lot of programs build in a free meal or a free day once a week or every 2 weeks. And part of that reason is to keep your body from getting stuck in there. Now, the third way about a plateau is change your program of what you're doing. Change what you're eating and change what you're doing for exercise. You see, in the weight loss business here, every single thing will work to lose weight, but it will not work for long or forever. So some things that worked when you started losing weight, your body's adapted to and you don't get as much out of it. So change what you're eating, change, you know, maybe eat a little bit more protein, a little less carbs, change around your workouts, do some interval training, not just the long, slow distance. Anytime that you make a change, your body has to keep guessing and you get a little bit better results for the workout and the eating that you're doing. And the last little section here, ways to avoid hitting these plateaus. Number one, only moderate calorie restriction. So this means never eat less than, say, 500 calories below what your maintenance level is. So none of these crazy 1,000-calorie diets or 1,500-calorie diets for guys. You're just asking for your body to try and rebel and get you right in a plateau. You're going to starve. You're going to end up eating more and gaining weight. Number two, make sure that you're exercising and losing some weight through activity. Don't just rely on food. Burn some of that fat off as well. Number three, take some time off from dieting. I mentioned that a little bit earlier. You know, once a week or every few days or take a meal off here or there. Don't think that you're failing at your diet if you're not sticking to it 100% of the time. Work into your diet some little rewards and some time off so that your body, you know, gets the reward and you don't get stuck in this plateau. Fourth way, don't let your body adapt to a specific workout routine. If you see people who go to the gym and do the exact same tension and time on an exercise bike day after day, eventually it gets easier and easier for them and they don't get the same calorie burn at the end. And the last thing, make sure that you're eating at least 5 or 6 meals a day. People who are only eating 1 or 2 meals a day, you're asking for your metabolism to slow down and try and hold on to your fat because you're not eating as often. The more you eat, as long as you're not eating a lot of extra calories, that does speed up your metabolism. So hopefully, with those five ways to avoid plateaus, you shouldn't hit them in the first place. But if you do, eat more food, give your body a little bit of a break, and then gradually get back in there. It's going to be a lot easier and a lot more successful than trying to fight it by eating less and exercising more.
So I'd like to add, you know, remember that just because you hit a plateau, or even if, you know, you gain a pound or two, at that time you're like, you stop losing. As long as you stay on your path and, you know, you're not a failure, you don't have to backslide back and gain all that weight back. You just keep going on the path, make some adjustments, and get back to your losing positive ways. And I think that's definitely what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be calculating those calories, making sure that I'm eating at that lower level, minus 500 calories here. And I'm at a workout and make sure I get on that elliptical myself. So I don't count this as a failure. I've had a little stop on the weight loss express. So onward and upward, right?
That's right. And I think it's good because, I mean, you're just human like the rest of us. I mean, we've all failed and had successes along the way. And as long as you, like you said, not gaining weight and going backwards. So weight loss kind of reminds me of a quote that I once heard. And it was something like, how many times are you going to allow your baby to try and learn how to walk before you tell him to just give up and don't try again and never learn how to walk? All right, now let's turn things around here, and we're talking about eating less. And so let's go the opposite way and talk about a great recipe. So Russ, are you still on a crock pot kick this week?
I am. This is going to be the last one on this. You know, I've done it for a month now. And actually, I think this coming up is next week. I'm going to be, instead of a recipe of the week, I'm going to highlight foods that you can eat out that are healthy, that if you can't make a meal, you can get that meal out, and we'll highlight some good ones. And we've talked about a bunch of these in the past, but I'm just going to highlight one for the next 4 weeks after this week, and we'll go that way. Kind of a healthy fast food. It's not a recipe, but it's a suggestion. So we'll do that in the next 4 weeks. But today we have the final one here, the slow cooker fajita stew. Now, they may sound wrong, but this looks really good, and you got to check out the recipe. It's over at about.com, and it just looks so good. I just, you know, I how many times have I done Mexican recipes? Anything Mexican is wonderful. And so check these out. And this is kind of weird because it says stew, and I don't think it's so stew-like, but it looks really good. Check it out, and the link will be in the show notes.
All right.
Good. So do we have homework for everybody at home this week, Jeff?
Well, the homework this week is to figure out, what are the top five things that you can do to help you succeed in your weight loss journey? So think of five things that you can track on a daily basis that if you are successful in all of them, there's no way that you can't be succeeding in reaching your goals. So for example, some people will think that they were unsuccessful 1 week just because the scale hasn't moved so many pounds. But if every single day you exercised, for example, ate everything you planned to, used your food diary, etc., you can count that as success. So if you have these five things in the back of your head as well, you'll know sooner if you start to slip up than later. So that's my suggestion. Think of five things you can try and keep track of every day. And if you're just doing those, you know that you're succeeding every day with your goals.
All right, good homework. I'm going to do that myself. And what is our quote for this week?
Well, the quote this week comes from W. Clement Stone. Like success, failure is many things to many people. With positive mental attitude, failure is a learning experience, a rung on the ladder, a plateau at which you get your thoughts in order and prepare to try again.
How very appropriate. Well, thank you, Jeff, for taking me to task here on this my plateau, on my lack of huge weight loss. And so I appreciate you taking the time to look at the calories and figure out why I am not losing as much weight as I probably should. And I think we came to some good conclusions there. So thank you for that.
No problem.
All right. And just one more note here before we go. There's a new little feature. If you are not subscribed to the podcast, either through iTunes or some other kind of RSS feed, there's a link in the upper right-hand corner of the page, right below the graphic, that you can subscribe via RSS. And that is free. It's not like a pay subscription. The show is our free, the current shows. And there's also a new option to subscribe via email. You put your email address in and you'll be verified. And every time there's a show posted or a post to the blog, you'll get that in your email. And you could download that from the website or directly from that email. It'll be a little link attachment in your email. So a new way to subscribe if you are not already subscribed. And that's about it for this week. Thank you, everybody, for listening and for downloading. We will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Send your feedback or questions to podcast@fattofitradio.com. For more information on today's show or any previous shows, visit the website at fattofitradio.com. If you would like to support the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast directory.